God is perfect. He always has been. He always will be. However, we are not perfect in our thoughts or actions. What can or should our day-to-day relationship as functionally imperfect people with a perfect God look like? What happens when we struggle in our mind, or sin with our bodies? What's appropriate when we're happy or when we want to celebrate? In our conversation through the book of Psalms called Transparency, we will discover that God has consistently lived in transparency with us and is inviting us to live in transparency with Him.
In the Bible, if you start in the beginning and you open the Bible, if you're familiar or unfamiliar, in the beginning it just says that God created everything. And it's brilliant. Do you know how God creates everything? How does He do it? How does God create everything? He speaks it into existence. God takes zero raw materials. There's no raw materials. And He speaks. His breath, His words bring everything into life. In fact, He's been conversing with humanity ever since. Who else had if God had the first word, who kind of had the second word in the Bible? At the tree in the garden, the serpent joins the conversation. And so in transparent conversation, God is transparently speaking everything into existence. You're good. He looks at everything He creates and everything He speaks, it comes to life. And He says, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. After everything's created, He said, it's very good. God actually enters into Sabbath that was supposed to last for eternity. And heaven, as we dream about it and as we read about it, was actually already perfectly established after creation in 7 days. And so God actually enters into rest. He's going to Sabbath, enjoy all created for eternity. But then the serpent joins in the conversation in this transparent moment between us and God and us, because they're fellowshipping. And man, Adam and Eve and mankind actually hears God coming in the garden, in the fellowship, in your subdivision. Here comes God. Here comes our creator. And the creator's like, hey, kids, where are you? Let's play. Let's do life together. Let's enjoy the lions and the beautiful trees in the sky. And let's do life together. The serpent comes in and says, hey, I don't know if God's been fully transparent with you. He's holding out on you. One of the greatest lies that the enemy is trying to sow in your life is you should doubt Him. He cannot be trusted. What's been sweet about our God over history is God has been a consistent pursuer of you and me. He's been a God of covenants, meaning He said, here, do these things and we'll be in a covenant. But He's been such a great and generous God that He said, when you did not, and I knew you wouldn't fulfill any covenants, fulfilling this marital relationship between us, I, by my own name, swear to redeem you. And I make a covenant with my name and my blood that one day I will bring you back into fellowship with me through my sacrifice that'll be perfect. That will endure forever. So you will endure forever. If you joined us through our conversation through the book of Psalms, called transparency. You've heard me mention a couple of times, God is keeping eternity for us and keeping us for eternity. That's Edmund Clowney. He talks about that in his commentary of actually 1 Peter. So that's our God. So we find ourselves in this moment right now. Let's just span the room. During our series in conversation together, we heard a story from a girl named Claire, who in her life was adopted into a family, which is such a joyous moment and scary moment for a child who is being removed from their home. But she was adopted into a family where she actually was sexually abused by her new uncle and then her adoptive father. Abused to the fullest extent. Really, 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 really rough. And she joined our community on Mother's Day where there wasn't healing yet. It was as raw and difficult as you can imagine. And during our conversations together, she went from, I couldn't trust a God who knows about this, who saw this. I couldn't trust a God who could be potentially, I mean, think about your idea of father. You don't know your birth father, and then you're adopted by a father, which is a beautiful picture of God's grace, and then yet that father doesn't only know about what his brother is doing to you, but then he goes and does that to her as well. What's amazing about Claire's story is she began a transparent conversation privately with the pastors here, specifically with me, and we were talking through things, to watch her go from being transparent, Chris, I'm angry with God, I'm confused about God, I don't even know if I want to know that God. Have you ever looked back in your past and said, I don't even know if I want to reckon or get reconciliation or have God answer this, because if He knew about this, I don't know if I want to have a relationship with Him. I'm not sure I would even want to live in transparency with him. That's where Claire was. In a matter of about 6 weeks, she found herself in a place of freedom saying, I trust God. And it was a choice for her, by the way. It was a choice. And Beau talked about that last week, that trusting God is a choice. And for Claire and for all of us, we have to look backward at our past. And I encourage all of us to do it because God's goodness and graciousness and faithfulness covers all of your past. This is what's beautiful about a transparent conversation. You might be afraid to have a transparent conversation with your spouse or your children or your parents or your teachers or your boss or authorities or neighborhood friends or the neighborhood homeowner association president. And the reason is because we don't know if we can trust their character or if they would forgive. But the Old Testament, actually Psalm 103, says the Lord is gracious and he is compassionate, he is slow to anger, and he is abounding in love. You know what that is? That's taking the door off the hinges and saying it's always open. Transparency, come on. Since God's lived in transparency with us, he's invited us to live in transparency with him. Our sister Claire, and so, I could tell so many of your stories, by the way. It's just been amazing to watch her. She's one who's experienced some of the worst things I've come to know. And she's gone on to forgive her father. She and I went to the jail a couple weeks ago because she wanted to bring reconciliation with her adoptive brother as well. And that was disastrous. It didn't go well at all. But she's trusting God. And so each one of us, at some point in our conversation with God, I want to start by saying, what have you considered okay and not okay? Open door, closed door with God looking at your past. And if I'm going to be thorough, it's not just what's been done to us, it's what we've done to others too, right? Let's just cover it all. Either something's been done to you or you've done something to others. Talk to God about it. That's a starting question. What would prevent you from living in transparency with God today? What would prevent you? And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write it down. What would prevent you from living in transparency with God? In a few moments, we're going to try to define. You've got these cards. We don't have them every week. If you're joining us for the first time, today we're responding back to God. When we finish a book of the Bible, we stop and we just take a week to say thank you to God and say, God, here's what you've taught us. And we do it together as a community. In fact, in a few moments, there's a microphone down here. And after you get into your small groups, which we're going to break into this morning, and you fill some of these things out, we're going to invite you to come down and just share that last line, which is, God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Some of you just looked at your family and went, small groups? I'm not in a small group. We're just going to make them this morning. And for some of you, if you're with your family, you just stay with your group of family. Some of you want to branch out and meet other people, you can do that. I'll give you instructions in a moment. But we're going to define these things. We're going to talk about them. Before we jump into that, I just want to encourage you that wherever you are at today is the right place and the right time to be transparent with God. You don't have to, like the prodigal, think that you have to get something right and in order to step into transparency and trust with God. That's one of the beautiful things about God. You can come to him as just a mess. You can just come to him as a mess and say, hey, I'm a mess. And he goes, thanks for talking with me. I knew that. My grace led you to actually own that. I want to read you a couple of quotes, and then we're going to move into just talking about really how to define transparency. George Mueller says this, God is pleased to continually to vary his mode of dealing with us. Not that God's changing, but God, like a good parent, if he's speaking to you this way and trying to get your attention this way and it's not getting your attention, he might move over here and tug at you over here and you completely go, oh, I didn't know you were doing that. God is pleased continually to vary his mode of dealing with us in order that we may not be tempted to trust in donors, people who are giving things in our lives, or in circumstances, things that change in our lives, but in him alone, and to keep our eyes fixed upon him. Josh mentioned in our worship, St. Augustine, it's one of our favorite quotes. We've probably mentioned it now 30 times since we've been together for 10 months as a church. But we will be restless until we are fully rested in him. Why? Because God made us. He began that conversation. We are hardwired. In fact, Ecclesiastes says that eternity has been written in our hearts, which means there's something in our hearts that is more destined and more prone to be in fellowship with the living God than wandering. That's actually the most normal thing for you and I in Christ, is to be in fellowship with the living God. And so if we cling or look to something to bring satisfaction or rest, we will be restless until we rest in him. I hope as we continue to sing that song, Restless, that some of you even tweak language while you're singing it. I know for me, I did. I said, I am rested in you, and I'm going to continue to be rested in you, because I know that that's what the Spirit of God in me is leading me into. Jerry Bridges describes this process with God that we're all in. And it's a difficult process for us. Listen, I know if you've been abused or if you abuse somebody else, or you feel lonely and you've been waiting and waiting for changes or circumstances or relational shifts. I know it's difficult. Jerry Bridges sums this up well. He says, if we are going to learn to trust God in adversity, in times that are difficult, the biblical New Testament words are times that you feel like you're stuck in the middle, you're in a pinch. If we're going to learn to trust God in adversity, we must believe God will allow nothing to subvert his glory. So he will allow nothing to spoil the good he is working in us and for us. Now that's a good father. No shortcuts. I know that a lot of us would love shortcuts to healing, wouldn't we? We'd love shortcuts to insecurity. We'd love shortcuts to, well, everything. Intimacy with our spouses, emotionally, physically. Security and job, paying the bills. Comfort knowing tomorrow is not going to fluctuate again. We'd love shortcuts. We'd love heaven here now, but we'd love the certain things of heaven here now, not the shortcut of the glory of God. Jerry Bridges just sums it up well. If we're going to learn to trust God in adversity, we have to believe that he's working out his glory all the time. So what if you just ask yourself that question? Am I willing for God to display and work his glory in and through me as my utmost priority rather than the, quote, good part? You know, we see in Romans that God works all things for his glory and for our good. We love clinging to that good part. And we love saying, hey, God, here's what's good, by the way. If you're about my good, let me let you know that you're so glorious. Here's what I think is so good. Rather than saying, God, you work out your glory and it'll always be my good. The people in history, the blood of the martyrs, the people who have lost their lives for our faith in history, learned that God's glory was always for their good. And they prized suffering, turmoil, and being in spots where they only could cling to Jesus. In fact, when we visited with our friends from Sri Lanka, they visited us on a Wednesday night, not on a Sunday, but they call themselves the Persecuted Church of Sri Lanka. They don't call themselves First Baptist or the Assembly of God or First Pres, because a lot of times we define ourselves in our methodology and our theology. They said, we'll talk about our functionality, which is persecution every day. So we are the Persecuted Church of Sri Lanka. And they talk about, we don't know anything else. We choose and want to follow God, and his glory displayed in us looks like us dying every day, as Paul said, and facing death every day. And they'll continue to. And we need to be praying for the church in Sri Lanka, because there are some significant things going on in the world actually this month coming up, where the government will decide whether Christianity is a banned illegal religion or that it will be a religion where people can freely share the gospel and worship in freedom. And really, it's kind of a lose-lose. Our friend from Sri Lanka, who's a pastor over there, said, if the government says that it's banned, obviously we will be persecuted to the point of death or imprisonment or death. If the government says that we're free to worship, they said, well, then there will be a coup to overthrow the government and people will come to kill the Christians in that way. So, I mean, we really need to be praying for our brothers and sisters over there, specifically now that we know a good group of them that is worshiping and glorifying God over there, and it can cost them everything, as it's already cost them so many things already. But are you open to God's glory, and do you believe that it's always your good? Jerry Bridges says, we must believe that God is trustworthy in the midst of this. So let's just go ahead and start understanding some transparency language. David Kinnaman, he wrote the book Unchristian, if you've read it before, a good book to help us understand where our culture in America is at now. But listen to this. This is a two-screen quote. So if you're taking notes and you want to write things down, it'll be on there for a while, but you might need to take a picture if you're going to try to get all this down. He says this, the motivation of transparency is important. So why we're being transparent with others, or why we're being transparent with God, what's your motive in that? So pause for a moment. What's your motive in being transparent with God? For me, when I was young in my faith, my motivation for being real or transparent with God was, I didn't know it at the time, just trying to manipulate him. That's all I tried to do. Andy Stanley and his teaching really taught me, like, I realized, like, I am totally manipulating God. I'm trying to do this or stop doing that or that so that God would answer me or do something on my behalf. If that's your motivation, oh, I'm going to be transparent with God because then he'll free me from my past regret, or then he'll give me what I need, or then my bankruptcy will get covered up and this will happen, or that person will come back to me. And if I'm real with God, then he'll change my circumstances. God's about changing you, not your circumstances. So he goes on to say, the motivation of transparency is important. The culture teaches people to be candid and blunt. In fact, we praise it, don't we? Oh, I'm just telling you my mind. I'm just speaking my mind. It's just what I do. And part of that might be good, but part of it might not be good. But this usually resolves around self-centeredness. You have a right to express your true feelings and your rage, meaning I'm entitled to do what I want and say what I want when I want. You can't tell me I can't. That's not the kind of transparency we're talking about this morning. He goes on to say this. This is an entitlement. Instead, the Christian way to approach transparency is to realize our candidness, our realness, our openness, our hiding nothing from God should be motivated, here we go, by a desire to have a pure heart before God and before others. That should be the driving motivation. Now, when at City Lights, we don't think that we should try to do anything in our Christian faith, from trust to following God to loving him. We believe it's trusting in the Holy Spirit, and he leads us into a trusting relationship or trying. So when we have trust in God, that must precede anything we try to do. When I do weddings, I talk a lot about this with the soon-to-be husband and wife. I say, you need to not try to do your vows. You need to trust in the Holy Spirit who will lead you consistently into honoring God and honoring one another. So the same thing here, when you think about motive, don't try to have a pure heart with God. Just put your heart before God and say, God, I've got impure motives. I'm desperate and I want you to change my circumstance. So that's what I'm trying to do with you, God. But I just want to live purely before you. I recognize that's not right. And I'm not even sure how to fix myself. But would you do that in me? Listen, you know what I just sounded like? A modern David in the Psalms. That's what he did all the time. He spoke that way. The sons of Korah did the same thing. God, I don't want to be where I'm at. I want to be back where I was. I want to be doing the things that you want me to do. And I'm not there and I'm frustrated. But I want to present that to you, God, because you're due and you're worthy of my restlessness and my wandering. You should know about it. And I'm sorry for it. Would you change it in me? So that would be a simple question, is what motivates you to be transparent with God? Do you have motives that you're trying to change God, or are you trying to present your heart to God so he can change things in you? Soren Kierkegaard talked about that so often when we pray, it's not so much about you trying to get God to pray, but prayer is God's way of changing us. That's so beautiful about conversation. I know in my marriage, when I have a talk with my wife where I'm trying to approach her on something, oftentimes that conversation, not because she spins things, but oftentimes when I'm talking with her, she helps expose things in me. And I end up more humbled than I ever realized. And frankly, in every person, with every relationship that I am in relationship with, if I weigh or you weigh your conversation or your relationship in the balance of prayer, meaning you pray, God, would you show me my part? As David prayed in Psalm 51, God, would you search my heart and show me my heart, and would you make a pure, clean heart in me? This was after David had committed murder and adultery and lying and just a rampant amount of sins. God still used him through that transparency. God, our Father, Jesus, Son of God, Holy Spirit, would you be honored? Would you be worshiped? We want to celebrate you right now. We want to silence the lies of the enemy by bringing forth the things that have separated us from you, that you've revealed. And we want to believe truth about how good you are. Oh, wonderful God, would you hear this song without a melody? Would you hear the song? This is your story. This is your song. We're going to praise you now, bringing back to you the things that you've done. Here we are, God. Be honored and worshiped in your holy name. Amen.
Represent the girls in my group, because girls tend to worry and have anxious hearts. God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my anxious heart to you, and I want my church to know how great your love and help has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my evil ways to you, and I want my church to know how great your love has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my lack of patience to you. And I want my church to know how great your adventure has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my insecurities to you, and I want my church to know how great your wise and patient revelation has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my desire to please man to you. And I want my church to know how great your abounding grace has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency with you by revealing that I've been wanting to find pleasure and joy from women and from things in this life that are fading fast. But I want the church to know that God has been persistent in trying to show me that he is the only one that will give me that pleasure, and that he is replacing the women and the things of this earth.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my struggles and doubt to you, and I want my church to know how great your unconditional love and relentless pursuit has been in my life.
You guys keep coming down.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my fears, motives, emotions, and self-reliance to you. And I want my church to know how great your kindness and steadfast love has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my struggles with pride to you, and I want my church to know how great your grace and forgiveness has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my doubt that you're good enough to you. And I want my church to know how great your provision for me through my family at church has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my lack of loving people rightly. And I want my church to know how amazing your love is for me and for others that surround me.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my seeking the approval of others more than yours to you. And I want my church to know how great love and grace has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my lack of trust to you, addictions I must face, sexual immorality, and anger. I want my church to know your provision, guidance, amazing presence, and forgiveness has been in our lives.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my search for satisfaction in other things to you, and I want my church to know how great your steadfast love and your faithfulness and your holding on to me has been in my life.
Why don't we just celebrate after each one from now on? That way some people are like, should I do it? Should I not? It's not forcing it, but if you want to, let's go ahead and do it each time. So you're going to really get a lot of encouragement, Christina. You ready for that? So yours is the best. Here we go.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing that my trusting in you and my worries and my anxious desires in life are not what you want in my life. And I want my church to know how great your grace and mercy, patience, love, and providing for my needs has been. Yeah.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my thoughts and motives of sinfulness to you. And I want my church to know how great your grace has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my disbelief in who you are and doubting your faithfulness to you. And I want my church to know how great your consistency, love, understanding, and healing have been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my struggles and frustrations with life to you. And I want my church to know how great your mercy and love is, regardless of how any current circumstance has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my lack of commitment to others and to you. And I want this church to know how great your forgiveness, your mercy, and your amazing grace and the ability to reach out to me daily is, has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my emotional shortcomings when I put myself in front of you and in front of others. And I want my church to know how great your patience is in reshaping me, your consistency and your love in my life.
I'm going to do two, if you guys will allow me to. So I'm going to read the one from my daughter. She asked me to read it, so I will. It says, God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my heart to you, and I want my church to know how great your love has been in my life. And for me, I just wanted to say, God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my trust in worldly things and other than you. And I want my church to know how great your relentless pursuit has been of me, and how your grace has really just blessed me tremendously.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my doubts and fears and failures to you. I want my church to know how great your immeasurable love, faithfulness, and kindness have been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency with you by revealing my sinful attitude, my selfishness, my evil thoughts to you. And I want my church to know how great your grace has been in my life by separating my sin as far as the east is from the west.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my need for control to you. And I want the church to know how great your faithfulness has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my pride and desire to have it all together to you, and I want my church to know how great your love and kindness to want to speak to me when I listen has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my desire for personal security from my accomplishments to you. And I want my church to know how fulfilling your carefully placed timing and sovereignty has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency with you by revealing my impurity, pride, control, and selfishness to you. And I want my church to know how great your relentless and pursuing love for my heart is.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my focus on wanting to know why instead of knowing you. And I want my church to know how great your love, faithfulness, and ability to become my father has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing to you my pride and deceit to myself, others, and to you. And I want my church to know how great your mercy, grace, and your fatherly love has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing myself in each part, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to you. I want my church to know how great your love, kindness, provision, mercy, and forgiveness has been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my desire to be noticed and pleasing others and not pursuing you with all my heart. I want you to know, this church to know, how great your grace and forgiveness have been in my life.
God, I want to live in transparency by revealing my lack of trust and fear of rejection to you. I want my church to know how great your faithfulness, provision, peace, and grace have been in my life.
Why don't we just celebrate our faithful God? Why don't we stand? And why don't we just shout and clap and celebrate our God, huh?
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. If the Lord used this message to speak to you, would you consider leaving us feedback on our iTunes or Facebook page? We would love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you would like to know more about City Lights and how you can get involved, please visit our website at www.citylights.cc for more information. Have a great day.